I might have everything set up the way it needs to be. Doubt it.
Sure you do.
Yeah. All right. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, well enough.
You're like, sure, shut up, just hit the button.
We already did sound check like 7 times. Let's go.
Hello and welcome to the Ritual Misery Podcast, episode beta 86 for Friday, the 8th of July, 2016. This is the show where two lifelong friends talk about geek stuff and whatever else comes to mind. Man, it's been a week. How you doing, Kent?
Man, I had some Taco Bell a couple hours ago. That shit ain't...
That's the haps right there, Taco Bell. Don't eat Taco Bell before podcasting.
Yeah. Yeah, especially when it was an hour. Like, that's probably a mistake.
Hey, man, how's your week been, dude?
Probably the same as everyone's. Yeah, I don't know. It started out really cool.
Yeah, it started out with a birthday.
Yeah, so my birthday was last weekend.
Yeah, we totally didn't even mention it last week.
Yeah, that's fine. Yay, another year older. Yeah. No, man, it was cool because my birthday always is conjoined with the 4th of July holiday weekend. So I always get multiple barbecues in a row.
Yeah.
I pretty much for 4 days straight was either going to a cookout or hosting a cookout, having campfires, drinking some beers.
Right.
Good conversations, good times. It was cool, man.
Awesome. We found out this week that we are definitely moving into our new house on Saturday, tomorrow.
Oh.
Yeah, totally cool, right?
Wow, that snuck up on us.
Yeah. You ain't lying. So this week I've been trying to get utilities hooked up.
Oh.
And I got to tell you, so it only took about 20 minutes to actually get the internet hooked up for the house. They basically just handed me a new cable modem and an Apple TV that came for free with signing up for service, like right on, you know, 4th gen Apple TV for 64 gig. Like, here you go. Here's a new Apple TV. So that was cool. Ironically, none of the services that I signed up for, such as, I don't know, electricity, water, trash. What else is there? Maybe that's it. I know there's a couple of, natural gas, like, you know, for the stove and stuff like that. You can't do any of those online. Not a single one of them can you sign up for online at all.
What you about, like, auto pay? Like,
some of them have that.
But no, like, no, e-pay.
No. Like for the water place, I went to the Wasilla City Hall and had to fill out a form that was dated from like 1986 or so. And it was basically just my name, my address, and when service needed to start.
Uh-huh.
Like, this is like day two HTML. You know, I'm certain this can be automated. For electricity, they wanted me to fill out a form and have copies of my ID, so I emailed it to them, but that wasn't good enough because there's no way to pay for it online. So you have to pay to start up the service. It's like a $5 membership fee for the co-op, and then there's like a $15 like paperwork fee or whatever. So there's no way to do that online. Although you can submit all of your paperwork and stuff like that, you still have to go into a store to pay.
Oh,
like,
okay.
I'm not making this up. So I sat there and emailed the forms to her while I was at her desk, so she could go and print them out. And then she put my bill on a sticky, and I took that to the cashier, and I paid it.
I wonder if they accept faxes.
Every place was like, well, we can fax you the information. And the old joke came to mind, like, we don't have fax where I live, you know? Like,
yeah.
Well, where
yeah.
do you live? 2016?
Oh my god, fuck that.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. Like, all of them were like that. It was It was stupid. However, I finally got all hooked up, and we are moving in. Well, we get the keys tomorrow. I'm not going to say we're moving in because our first shipment doesn't arrive until Monday, and then Tuesday and Wednesday for the next shipment. And then my stuff from Korea, I found out, is still sitting in Seattle. But at least it made it through customs, which is good because I've got soju in there.
Slime.
Yeah. Hey, I declared it. It's legal. I just figured it might take a little longer.
Right.
And, of course, that's where all my podcasting equipment is, my mixing board, my mic stands, and a lot of other stuff. Speaking of podcasting equipment, I have to mention something real quick. So we have several lists out there for people to help us out. You can go to patreon.com/virtualmisery.
Yep,
you
can of course.
Go to PayPal. If you go to our webpage, virtualmisery.com, you can go to PayPal and just donate one time. Or if you really want to, you can look. There's links for an Amazon wish list, and one of those items was actually purchased. We actually got a gift from a fan. I've been meaning to mention it for a while now.
Oh yes, that's so, I forgot about that.
Yeah. So I replaced my Yeti microphone with this ATR 2100, and hopefully the last several weeks you've been able to tell the difference in the sound. I can tell the difference in the sound when I'm editing it. So it was a bit of an anonymous gift, so I don't know exactly who sent it, but it's really highly appreciated, so I know you're listening, and it's really awesome, so thank you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Thanks.
Just, I mean, little things like that. I mean, this is probably $50, but, you know, it goes a long way. So really appreciate it, because this is something I didn't have to convince the wife I needed to buy.
Just start putting a bunch of stuff on there, and just hopefully somebody is like, yeah.
Yeah, you know what? I get an extra $20. Here's a new mic cable, you know?
Hey, save my other 12 break.
That's tell you awesome. What, man. So I'm going to jump right into my geeky thing of the week. iOS 10, the beta release, the public release.
Yeah, they came out, what, was it yesterday?
Yesterday.
Yeah.
I've been playing with it since I finally got it downloaded, because when it came out, I was on shitty public Wi-Fi and couldn't get it downloaded. Came home, got it downloaded last night, and I've been playing with it since. I got to say, other than two issues that I've found, it's pretty amazing.
Like, oh, yeah.
It's not like a revolutionary product, you know. It's definitely like the next iteration. But what it does, so iOS 7 really changed the way that the iOS looks.
Yes, with the muted color or the
flattened
look and all that.
Got rid of the what the hell do you call it when shit looks like the real thing or whatever? Like notepad was, you know, or calendar didn't look like a calendar anymore. It looked like an app, you know.
Right.
So 7 came out, and I jumped on board for 7. I got the beta for that. Really loved it. 8 came out, added features. 9 came out, added basically stability and, you know, enhanced a couple of the features, but really it was a stability release and an optimization. Because going from 6 to 7, it kind of got thinned down a little bit, but between 7 and 8, it got bloated back up. 9 kind of thinned out the software a little bit, made it a little speedier, a little snappier. 10, of course, it's still in the public beta. All the features that I've noticed, I mean, there's still some that aren't in the public beta yet. But the new notification screen is awesome. The new the mission control or whatever they want to call it, the where you swipe to the side and it brings up all the little, like, the little widgets and stuff like that.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, that's amazing. That works so good. The only two glitches I've found are, and probably not even glitches, they're probably just optimizations. When you open an app,
that's what Apple calls the glitches.
Yeah. Further optimizations. Yeah. When you open an app, you know, it does a little zoom in thing where it zooms and takes over the whole screen.
Yeah.
That animation and the animation when you hit the home button and it zooms back down is still a little sketchy. It's not fluid. It's still jumpy.
Yeah.
But it doesn't affect the usability of it at all. It's just a little aesthetic thing. The other problem is when I'm in my truck, whether I'm hooked up by USB or hooked up by Bluetooth, it'll randomly pause my podcast that I'm listening to.
Oh, that, so, wow. Yeah.
I haven't tried that in any other app other than Pocket Casts because I'm a devout Pocket Cast user. So I don't know if that's just that app or if it's an OS thing, but yesterday it was working fine. Today it pauses randomly, sometimes multiple times in rapid succession. Sometimes it doesn't even bother with it at all. It just plays it for like an hour and a half and you're fine. So those are the only two things I've found so far. Other than that, I'm loving it, man. You're going to love this update.
Awesome. Quick question, though. As a beta tester, because I've never done the Apple betas, mm-hmm. do you have like a method for bug reporting?
There is. Anytime that you have the beta certificate on your phone, it actually opens up a little... Oh, I wish I had my phone in front of me. There it is right there. It's a little app for feedback. So you can go in there and give it feedback. And, of course, it captures whatever's running on your phone at the time and all that stuff. So they want you to report it as soon as it happens. I often report things. But typically what I'll do is I will wait until it happens multiple times and I kind of get a feel of what's going on with it. So I'm not just like shooting off, hey, it paused.
Oh, well, you can provide better feedback.
Yeah, it pauses erratically and sometimes rapidly in succession, only when using this app. And by the way, the podcast app is no longer on my phone. The first thing I did when I put iOS 10 on there was get rid of all the apps I didn't use.
Right, that's right. That is one thing that they added. You can get rid of.
It doesn't save any space. The kernel's still there. The everything's still there. It just gets rid of the app. The icon just
right. So you no longer need that folder where you dump in all the crap that you don't use, but you can't delete.
Right.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, it's purely aesthetic, and I'm fine with it. I'm good with it. So, that's awesome. But that was kind of the geekiest thing I did. Except I did try out this new app that came out officially this week. Although I haven't successfully used it very much because I'm not too much into the game itself, but apparently you've got a little experience with it. Pokemon Go.
Oh my gosh, this game. I had no intention of getting this game. Isaac, on the other hand, it's something that's way up his alley. He is a huge Pokemon fan.
Well, yeah, his name in chat room is Pokey Isaacmon.
Yeah, exactly.
That should tell you something.
Yeah, so somebody tweeted, what was it, 2 days ago, I think? Somebody tweeted that just a few minutes until Pokemon Go or something like that. I was like, huh, I've heard of this. Mm-hmm. Well, then like 2 seconds later, another tweet pops up and it's somebody like, yeah, Pokemon Go. And then like another and another and another. I was like, what the fuck? All right, I got to check this out.
So either you're following the wrong people or this is something you had to try.
Right. Well, probably both. I was like, all right, fine. So I downloaded it probably within 5 minutes of it being live on the App Store. And it was a little slow going at first because they had some server issues. Go figure.
I have to give them accolades. It's a very small app.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I downloaded it over LTE in a bad area of coverage, and it only took like 30 seconds to download.
Right, yeah, it took no time to download and install. It was up and running. It just wouldn't connect to the servers for a while. But no, in the game is made by the same people that do Ingress. If you guys remember way back when we had our old friend Charlie on the podcast, he's a very devout participant in that game.
And if you played Ingress, you can clearly see how they could have used a lot of the data that they got from Ingress into this game. And so
this is more or less Ingress with a Pokemon skin. It's more than that, but it gets that feel when you start going to.
It's more of a sister product than it is a iteration.
Sure, absolutely. But man, it is fun. It's addicting, and everybody and their brother is playing this damn thing. when I've driven around for the last 2 days. I can't even tell you how many people I see just walking around like this. I mean, even more so. Everybody looks at their phone.
And I love the memes. I love the memes where you got a picture of a dog pooping, and on top of the poop is a Pokemon just chilling, because it's the augmented reality. So you flip your phone, and you can actually look, and it shows the camera view, and then it augments the Pokemon on top of whatever you're actually looking at. So, yeah, the memes are going crazy, man. Twitter is lighting up with this stuff. It's so fun.
Oh, it's
I'm not. I've never played Pokemon. I've watched my kids play it, but I had to try it because everybody's talking about it, and it's fun. It's so interesting to watch other people do things with it, and it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So, quick story. Today after work, I stopped in at the Shopette real quick, and I was like, you know what? I haven't opened this app on base, so I opened it up. First of all, not a goddamn Pokemon to be found on that base. However, I saw something on the horizon. I was like, ooh, what's this? And it was a Pokestop. That's where you go to get like free
Pokeball
and whatnot. Yeah. I was like, it's over at the air park. It's only like a block away. Screw it. I'm going to drive over there. So I drove over there. And I hop out of the car. And this other car pulls up. And I see a guy just kind of sitting there on his phone. I was like, oh, crap. So my old geocaching instincts kicked in where you don't want the muggles to know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I'm at the air park. Let me read this placard next to this airplane on a stick. And then, so I, the guy wasn't looking at me. So I pulled my phone out real quick and did, you know, check to see what was up and all this kind of stuff. Well, the guy is out of his car at this point and he's looking at his phone too. And then we both do this thing where we kind of like look over at each other and he walks up to me. He's like, you're not by chance playing a game on your phone. And I was like,
he didn't even want to say what it was.
Yeah. I was like, Pokemon. It's like, yeah, me too.
Mutually assured like, embarrassment right there.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. And then what follows was like 45 seconds of awkward conversation. I was like, yeah, right, man. I gotta go.
Because you know he's way more into it than you are.
Right. So. Oh, so funny.
Yeah. I don't know if my kids are playing it or not. I don't think they are because they've been stuck in the hotel room all day. And I say stuck as in they had the opportunity to leave and they chose to sit around and do nothing but iPad it all day. So, I just use iPad as a verb. So I don't know if they're actually what they're doing with it, but I'm sure that'll change over the next couple of days.
Right.
So, man. Hey, you have one of these. And I say you because I clearly do not have one myself. Right. I've just been far too busy between the new job and trying to get the new house. There's not a chance. I'm so excited to have finally. Once I get into this house, I'll be able to spend actual time doing the things that I really enjoy doing. So, tell us about. Oh, damn it!
So to continue the tradition, I chose talk by a speaker with an unpronounceable name,
Prasanth Czech Robarty.
Yes, let's go with that. Oh my gosh. All right. His talk was called Clues to Prehistoric Times Found in Blind Cavefish. Mm-hmm. Also, probably the longest title for a TED Talk ever.
Let's get there.
Oh my gosh. So, this guy, he goes digging around in caves looking for fish and fossils and things.
Okay.
And anyway, so what he's into is called ichthyology, which is the study of fish. And he started out with a joke saying that ichthyology is the coolest of all of the ologies because it has the word YOLO in it. Damn it.
Dating your talk much?
Yeah, and then he's like, all you young people in the audience will get what I'm saying.
Oh, man.
God damn it.
Yeah.
But it's actually kind of interesting.
If you think about it, if he's into digging up ancient species and stuff and studying, it kind of fits. I mean, it's part of the theme, right?
Right. Oh, man. It was actually kind of an interesting talk because he was talking about how you can find a species of fish, a new species, and you can learn about the characteristics and the DNA and things. Mm-hmm. And you can find the closest relative to the fish, and it could be Like for example, this fish he found in southern Indiana, and it was the name translates to something like Hoosier cavefish or something. And the closest relative to it is from I think Australia, like someplace like super far away. And he said that this happens all the time with species of cavefish finding their closest relative, like a continent away. And he said what's really cool about it is that you can create kind of a map, kind of the Pangaea theory of when Earth was all one landmass, or, you know, landmasses that are separated now, where they used to be and how long ago, and things like that. It was pretty interesting. The thing I liked the most about the talk, though, is about halfway through the talk, he's showing a picture of one of the fish that he found, and it looks just like a turd. So definitely go watch it and watch out for the turd fish.
I saw a turd fish earlier today, but you know, that was after lunch. So he's studying actual live fish, right?
Yes, yes.
So these aren't like fossils or nothing, like, you know, because I find fossils a little bit boring, to be honest with you. There's too much presumption and stuff like that. When you actually find a new, well, even if it's not a new species, just you find these species that are so completely, like, disparately different from everything that we have on the surface. It blows me away. I love that stuff.
Right. And, well, he looks at fossils too. Like, he studies whatever he can get his hands on as far as fish, because he likes finding the links and finding, you know, just new characteristics and what they might be able to do to further science.
Right.
He's talking about, you know, possibly helping cure blindness, just all, you know, all kinds of interesting facets of this. So he looks at everything, but he's primarily into the live fish.
Gotcha. the live turd fish.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome.
When that you encountered.
So would this be a recommend or a non-rec?
Yes, yes, it's definitely a rec. Look for the turd fish.
If only because it's called the turd fish. Awesome.
I named it turd fish.
Yeah, you named it turd fish. That's okay. Copyright Kent Fleur, or trademark Kent Fleur.
Trademark RMP 2016.
Oh, there you go. Well, fuck it. So our main topic tonight is something that I don't want to say that I'm reserved to talk about, because it's something I really think is very important to our military, and we do like to touch upon these military stories every once in a while whenever there's a good one that comes up that affects society at large. You know, if we just did a military podcast, it'd be boring as hell for you and I and watching.
But, well, I think your reservation for this topic, I'm not going to give it away, I'll let you introduce it, but I think your reservation for the topic is that it's something that you don't directly relate to, and it's hard to understand maybe a perspective of the people that it affects the most.
Yes, yes, that would definitely be something, some part of it. And I got this article from the Air Force Times. It's a weekly newspaper that is all dedicated to Air Force news and military news. So there's the cover. And the headline of it is, Pentagon has new rules for transgender troops serving openly.
Right.
Now, the reason this is very interesting is because earlier this week, I was at a briefing, and the briefer, well, one of the briefers, was... So, perception, simply my perception, it was a woman who was abnormally tall. Now, not like freakishly tall, but abnormally tall. You know,
like Brianna Tarth, perhaps?
Yeah, yeah. Like, she was taller than me, and I'm 6'2". Okay, so that's abnormal for a woman.
Well, I don't know if I'd call it abnormal. It's
is it
less common, perhaps. Less common. Abnormal, you think,
it's,
like...
It's outside, you know. It's outside the 80%. I'll get, you know, it's...
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Common.
spoke with a very deep, manly voice, and had fingernails colored and hair colored, and the hair was long, way longer than what a man could have, but way shorter than most women that I encounter in the military have.
Okay.
So there's a question there of... And I brought this up to you, and I put it out there on Twitter. If I can't tell what gender you are, how am I, as an NCO or a senior NCO, supposed to enforce standards when the standards are different for different genders?
Right, right.
And this was Tuesday that this came up, or maybe Wednesday. And I thought that that in and of itself was an interesting question. And, you know, if you're offended by that, then go suck it, because I'm just asking a question.
You know? Right. So, all right. So let me tell you where I'm at, just right off the bat. A couple of weeks ago, I think it was now, that a letter came out from maybe it was the Secretary of the Air Force or Chief of Staff or somebody. I don't remember. But I saw something in my email about something about the transgender thing, or maybe it was on the Holloman Air Force Base homepage. I don't remember. Well, anyway, what I thought that I remembered was that the new rules would be introduced soon and implemented over the course of a year as the force is educated. Same way they did with the Don't Ask, Don't Tell appeal. So I guess the impression that I got was don't start, I don't even know what the right word is, coming out, or I don't know the vocabulary, but don't start coming out yet because we haven't defined the rules. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the impression that I got. Okay. So that it's interesting to me that, you know, somebody's allowed to be out when, just like you said, we don't know the rules. So how do we enforce? Well, the royal we, because I'm no longer a senior NCO.
I'm not trying to say that this individual was transgendered in any way, shape, or form. You know, that's clearly not my place. I'm not trying to insinuate that or anything else. It was just a matter of, it was confusing to me on the surface.
Ah, okay. And the thought kind of popped into your head that yes. What this person is trans, how would I know what standard to enforce?
Right. As we blur these lines, where am I going to objectively approach this? And it reminded me a lot of back in the late 90s, late 90s, early 2000s, when I first started really becoming aware and started paying attention to other people and their standards and things like that. Women would have a beard. They would have like actual beards. You know, I guess it's uncommon, but
it's like whiskers, little, you know, some whiskers, yeah, on
that, or they'd have the little corner stash going.
Yeah.
It was always an awkward conversation. Like, you know, to the best of my memory, the AFI didn't say anything about women having to shave or anything else. You know, so women could have just this burly beard and be like, whatever. However, that's not the case. So I don't know when it changed, if it changed, whatever else. But at some point, it was my responsibility as an NCO to tell them they had to get the hair off their face.
Mm.
You know, and that was an awkward conversation. Like,
see, that's interesting to me, because I remember AFI 36-2903, which is our dress and appearance instruction. I remember saying that males must shave the blah 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 blah.
Right.
I don't remember anything under the female category or whatever.
So exactly, it's always been this gray area, like, you know, for a while there, women in uniform could have the stockings on, and it didn't matter if the hair poked through or whatever else. And then they cleared that up and said, no, it can't poke through. That creates a conversation, you know. So now me, and especially when it's a conversation of, okay, you know, Airman Snuffette, you've got hair poking through your pantyhose. You need to go and eliminate that. However you're going to do it, that needs to stop.
Okay.
What are you looking at my legs for?
Oh, for God's sake. Okay.
But that's there, especially in this culture of super sensitivity to all things sexual and discriminatory.
True.
You know, there's this constant battle, this gray area that, like, yeah, if you're a hardliner, you can do it, but, you know, if you just want to go by the rules every single time. But nobody goes by all the rules all the time. Mostly because nobody can remember all the rules all the time.
Right. And even if you could, it's almost impossible to be 100% in compliance 100% of the time.
Right, exactly.
I go so far as to say that it is, in fact, impossible.
So this article, however, brings up a couple different points. And I was one of the few people that I know serving actively that when the Don't Ask, Don't Tell repeal was lifted, I supported it completely, openly and outwardly. I was like, yes, this is awesome. This should have been done a long time ago.
Right. Excuse me. It's the right thing to do because gays and lesbians and bi, whatever, have been serving forever, since the history of... So why, anyway, let's not get into that. Keep going. Right.
So, but it didn't pass over, like, it wasn't a fly-by-night, this thing. There's still a lot of discrimination against it, whether it's open or in closed conversations or whatever else. There's still a lot of people that don't feel that it should be, that we should have gays in the military. I'm a little bit more liberal on that front. I don't understand why we have gender-separated bathrooms. That's just me. I figure if you're going to be, if you're going to serve in the military, you should be responsible enough to keep your pecker in your pants and not rape anybody, whether it's male or female. And I don't think having, showers that are separated is going to stop that if it's going to occur. You're not providing opportunity. The opportunity is always there.
Okay, I'll differ with you a little bit on that. Are you talking open bay showers?
No, not open bay showers. I'm just talking about we'll have a shower tent for males and a shower tent for females.
Yeah, okay.
There's still room. Anyway, you'd have a private shower, but it's a matter of it's a completely separate building. It's,
okay, sure. Yeah.
I don't see why they couldn't just put a curtain in between the two and have one half males and one half females. Anyway. So this right here, this struck me as odd, and my wife summed it up very, very nicely when she mentioned it, and I'm not going to say these are her words because they're clearly not, because I'm the one talking. but here's the part that I want to get to, and I'm going to quote almost all of this. Now transgender troops will no longer be considered medically unfit for military service. By October, transgender troops may begin an official process to change gender in the military personnel management systems. The Pentagon will pay for health care support related to gender transition in cases where a military medical doctor determines that it is necessary according to the new policy. Mm-hmm. Let me get into that a little bit further on. Many details remain unclear. Senior military leaders will have 90 days to draw up a detailed implementation plan that will address issues that include, and I'm not going to go through all of them here, just a couple, how the military health system will provide care to transgender troops to include medical support for gender transitions. Okay. When transgender service members will begin adhering to a different gender's grooming standards and uniform wear rules, and how and when a transgender service member will transition to new physical fitness standards. Now, those are the three big ones that I want to address. The first one is, and I'm going to kind of go out of order, when a transgender service member will begin adhering to different genders' grooming standards and uniform wear rules. I don't see why there's a difference between the two.
Agreed. Absolutely. And I think that's going to be the first fucking thing to go.
I think that's the first line that's going to cause problems immediately.
Yep.
And that goes right back to the conversation I was having on Wednesday. That's actually how this all feeds in together. Next, how the military health systems will provide care to transgender troops to include medical support for gender transitions. They're talking about hormone therapy, breast augmentation, and other surgeries.
Right. Right, possibly reassignment surgery.
Yes. So here's the part that really kicks me right in the nuts. I paid for my own fucking braces because I couldn't eat apples.
Right. Right. Well, it did say, didn't you say in the article, he said when medically necessary.
Right.
So what does that mean?
Okay. Well, I'm going to go back on that just a little bit. About 10 years ago, they decided that the Air Force and the military in general would pay for spouses to have breast augmentation and reduction surgeries because of different medical issues. And that went through a spat of holy shit, and everybody and their brother wanted to try to get in there and do it. Some people actually did it. I know at least two people that I worked with, their wives got their breasts reduced because of back pain, and another one had their breasts augmented because of confidence issues, is what it really comes down to.
Sure, sure, yeah.
I didn't like that either. Completely paid for by the military system. And yet, you know, like it just seems like we're the system is bowing to a certain demographic and not taking care of the others. Like, if you have a bona fide, like, it boggles my mind. And yeah, it's a little personal because I did pay for my own fucking braces, you know?
Right.
And that was only, what, a couple $1,000s, like, you know? And I paid for myself. Now my mouth is fine. I've not had any dental problems forever. So it doesn't really make sense to me.
Yeah. So to back it up a little bit, what, if you don't mind me asking, what demographic do you think the military is bowing to, I guess?
The gay and lesbian community. In this particular instance, it's the transgender community.
Okay.
In the previous instance, it was military spouses, because it wasn't military members getting the surgeries done. Maybe it was, but not from what I saw.
Yeah, I don't know. I remember that was a thing.
It was when we were at Kadena
or whatever. Yeah. But I don't remember having any like exposure to it.
Yeah, we had several.
Yeah.
And it drives me nuts that certain things are made such a priority. And how many people are going to abuse this? How many people are going to come in the military specifically because the military will provide this service? So now gender reassignment is on par with education and seeing the world and patriotism.
It'll be interesting because I would be, man, I mean, I can't put anything past people because people are going to do whatever.
Right.
But I don't see that. I don't see there being like all of the transgender population or community just like, all right, fuck it. We're all joining the military now. And
I understand that. I'm not trying to insinuate that they will. But, you know, when do these things become saying you can't come in is one thing. Saying we'll help you along is something completely different.
Yeah, well, I did read that. I don't even remember where I read this. Probably the same letter that I couldn't remember the source, where the medical necessity or something about medical services or something. It's it was for the actual reassignment, whether it was in MIL-PDS or the
DEERS,
the physical, like, you know, actual medically. Reassignment.
Mm-hmm.
Something about, I believe it was a 1 year stable, like emotionally stable.
18 months.
Okay. 18 for months. The gender identity, like you're mentally like I was born a male, but I've been for a year and a half now living life as a woman.
Right.
My mind is right. This is me, you know?
Yeah. It states in there that it's basically an 18 month, soft, transition before you start going into the hard transition, if you will.
Right. So that makes me think that there's going to be like counseling, like perhaps right. mental right. services to evaluate if this is, you know, if this is real first, and if you are in fact you know, mentally fit to be in the military. Because I imagine that some people that have this like identity crisis or what have you might have, I guess, an accompanying
gender dysphoria.
Is that a disorder?
Yeah, or what? Well, they call it a disorder. The feeling that one's biological gender is the opposite of the one he or she identifies with emotionally and psychologically. That's okay. Gender dysphoria. That's the, the medical term for it.
I would imagine, medically speaking, I imagine that there's a fine line between the disorder and just, you know, personal identity.
Mm-hmm.
From a medical standpoint, I imagine there's a fine line. So yeah, I guarantee there's mental health evaluation that goes on during that 18-month period.
Yeah. It's going to be pretty interesting to see how it all flows out and how it comes about, and it's just one more major transition between the different, you know, services changing the way they rate people and the rack and stack and how people are promoted and stuff like that. And then you kick this in there. It's a huge transition that the military is going through. And I hope everybody the best, but I'm glad that I've only got a limited amount of time left, because I don't see it going without problems, unfortunately.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So.
So speaking of problems,
you know what this means, though? We're the old guys now.
Well, yeah.
When we first came in, we had some old master sergeants that were like, back in my day, we used to smoke weed on the flight line. Well, first of all, probably bullshit, but the ones that weren't, like, okay, grandpa, you know. but no, we're them now. We're them. Back in my day, men were men.
Well, I remember right after MEPS the first time we went through, and it had the question on there that was, are you now or have you ever identified yourself as gay or homosexual or something like that? The question was on there. It was the very last question on one of the forms we had to do. And the question was still there, but it had been like markered out.
Yes,
and then they
xeroxed
it, and you can still read the question through them. And we talked about it. We were like, what kind of bullshit is that? Like, why is that even a question? Like, even in high school, when neither one of us knew anyone that was openly gay, right, we were both like, that's kind of retarded. Like, why was that ever a question? And here we are 21 years later going, why is this even a question?
Yeah. Oh, geez.
So, okay.
But back in my day.
Yeah. There's one more thing that we want to talk about, and that's geekandgamergear.com.
Yep, cool website, man.
Yeah, it's got lots of cool shit on it. Go there, get your geek gear, get your gamer gear. Yeah. Way bitching promo right now. Geekandgamergear.com. Use the promo code Ritual Misery, get 10% off your first purchase, and it helps us out a little bit. So go and do that. That's geek.
Oh yeah.
The letter N, gamergear.com. So that's the fun stuff. Now, so I went to Verizon. They have a new plan. Supposedly you get 30% more data. That's cool. It costs roughly the same as the old plans. That's cool. You get rollover data that only lasts one month, by the way. It's not like Singular's old, you know, the rollover minutes would last for a year. I feel this is worthwhile because this is Verizon, a major company, making changes to the way they've done the plan for a couple years now. And anytime you see one company do this, you see others. And maybe the others have done it lately, but I haven't noticed it. So you're a Verizon customer.
Yes.
What kind of...
I have not...
What plan are you on as far as your data goes? Are you still old plan?
Yeah, well, it's not the old plan, not the one that I signed up with originally. I upgraded, I guess, to a newer version. So I'm on the one generation old now. What's that?
You transgraded.
Sure, yeah. So I'm on the plan where I get 3 gigabytes shared. You know, so all the phones on my account, 3 gigabytes shared for like, what is it, $40 or $50 or something.
Oh my gosh, I envy you.
Because I use so little data?
Yes, because I'm on the 24 gigabyte plan.
Yeah, I don't understand how you use so much data. I get it that you've got a bunch of phones, but stop fucking watching Netflix while you're walking around. Like, what the fuck? 24 gigabytes, dude. That's a problem.
So, we've only ever come close to the cap once, and that's when we didn't have internet at all. So, we were using our phones to hot sync over to our computers and stuff like that. It'll be interesting now that we're all settling down, and we'll have Wi-Fi in our house again and things like that, see where it goes. We'll probably drop that down considerably. Yeah. However, I like my phone to operate exactly the same all the time. So if I want to watch a YouTube video, I just watch a YouTube video. Like, I don't consider, I should wait for later to watch this or whatever else. I just use my phone. Like, I just use it. Right. And, you know, we've got 7 phones on the line. If you go, if you were to go like 2 gigs per, that's already 14 gigs.
Yeah.
You know, and 2 gigs is simple to blow through.
See, I've got three phones on the plan, 3 gigabytes. That equates to 1 gigabyte a person.
Mm-hmm.
We've only come close to that, like maybe 3 times ever.
No. Well. Here, let me look real quick. So, this month, now we are about, we are roughly halfway through my billing cycle right now. And it's not pretty. Oh my God, and Verizon's new app makes you accept the terms of service every single time.
Really?
Yes.
This is the first time I've opened the new version of the app and have any sort of pop-up or
I don't know. It's and I was sitting in the store today and it wouldn't load up anything except for the in-store menu, which was pissing me off.
Oh, I just realized I have 4 gigabytes.
Oh, look at you. I have 67% remaining with 14 days left in my cycle.
Yeah, so I'm...
That is the new plan that we just upgraded to 24 gigs from... We were on 16 or 18.
Yeah.
I'm
using... I've used... Well, we collectively have used less than 4/10 of a gigabyte. So far, it's billing cycle.
And how long into the billing cycle are you in?
Probably a week, about a week. Well, 8 days. So today's the 8th. So eight days.
I like the math right there. Oh my God. Now it's like, what are you doing right now? Like, I just want to see.
Is that the iOS 10 beta that we opened the show with?
Yeah. I just want to see my data chart. Like, they've changed all the menus.
Well, you're on Verizon, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, when I open the Verizon app, it's the first thing. It's there, right there. I don't click anything.
Are you on the new app or the old app?
The new app.
Oh,
just,
see. No.
And it's exactly the same as the old app.
No.
This is what pops up if you can. I don't know if you can see it, but this is what pops up when I open it. It's the
chart, right? No, I was looking at. I was trying to find the one that breaks it out by line.
Oh,
which I found, but I'm not going to show because it's got a lot of phone numbers on there. So I have used 10% this month. I've used 2.4 gigs in half a month. Next up would be my sister. No, my wife and then my sister-in-law. And they've used about a gig and a half. So we would probably cut our plan down considerably.
Yeah, however, it's not gross usage, but it's considerably more than what my household uses.
Yeah. Yeah, I've used two and a half gigs myself in the last 2 weeks. So and a half weeks. Yeah. All right, so there's that. I want to make sure everybody was aware of that. Just go and check your stuff, see if it saves you some money. You might want to check it, dude, because it just came out yesterday. So if it saves you some money or gives you more data for the same amount of money, why not sign up, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
There's that. Is there anything else that you want to talk about this week? Because I'm about ready to go on a little bit of a mini rant.
No, you know what? Go ahead. If I have anything to say, I'll pipe up.
All right. So this week... Hillary Clinton was essentially exonerated from her part in the emails, classified emails, and the lying and everything else that went through her private server. Depending on your view on Hillary Clinton, maybe you think she's a saint and she never did anything wrong. Maybe you're like me and you just think the whole system is corrupt and she's just a spokesman for it. However you look at it, she's getting away with something. Whether the intent was there or not, she's still getting away with something more than what any military member would ever get away with. Then we had 2 more shootings this week of essentially what comes down to white cops shooting black pedestrians or citizens. One right after the other. In both cases, it was taped. There's video of the majority of the confrontation, if not the whole thing. In the case of one, there's multiple views of the entire confrontation. In both cases, it seems pretty ridiculous on the surface. I'm sure there's other details or whatever else, but on the surface, it looks really, really just completely ridiculous. And then last night, there was a peaceful protest, a registered known peaceful protest in Dallas, downtown Dallas, where the police were lined up on the sides of the roads to make sure that there's no traffic going through the protesters or anything else. It was sanctioned and everything else. And then someone opened fire on the cops, injuring a total of 12, five of which died so far, last time I saw. I am all for revolution. I welcome it. I think the current system is heavily biased towards the ultra rich. I think the middle class is disappearing. The lower class, the very bottom of our society as far as wealth is concerned, is being taken advantage of, is treated almost in economic slavery. And I don't think that the current political system is adequate or forceful enough to make the change that is for the good of the greater people. Those are my feelings. I think we are primed and ready for a revolution of sorts. But I don't think we're at the point where we need to be killing cops that had nothing to do with other incidents simply because they're wearing the uniform. We're not there. There's no reason for that. There's never going to be a reason for killing people that are innocently protecting the peace. There is time. There's room for change. There's ways to make that change happen. And I don't know that violence isn't part of the overall equation. When there's a major upheaval of society and of government and of culture, violence is almost inherent in that. However, we have not exhausted all possible paths to reclaiming our country for our people, for the middle class, for the people that work, for the people that are carrying this country on their shoulders. Before we go shooting peace officers, we should be all writing our congressmen, showing up at the voting booths and actually voting these corrupt sons of bitches out of office, making sure that our government knows we mean business the legal way and using the ways that have been granted to us and promised us by the Constitution that holds this whole government together. We should be using that. We should be exhausting that as a resource. We should actually get off our lazy asses and make change happen the legal way before we ever reach to violence. Violence should be a last resort. The Second Amendment, which I'm a huge proponent of, gives me the right to carry weapons, to have guns and own guns and firearms or whatever else you want to call it, in order to protect myself from the oppression of the government. It says nothing about going and sniping cops who are protecting a peaceful demonstration. And anyone that says anything otherwise is completely full of shit. We are ready for a revolution. We are not at the point where violence is needed or even warranted. There are still nonviolent, legal ways to change the system And if we care so much to go shooting people, we should all be going to the booths and voting out the corrupt pieces of shit that we've got in office way before we should be shooting anybody. So that's what I have to say about all that.
Yeah, that was a lot of words. Yeah, I mean, me personally, in my daily vocabulary, I'm not a big fan of the term revolution, because it carries with it, no matter in what context you're talking about it, it carries with it the connotation, I guess, of violence, violent overthrow. That's what, at least me and I would venture to say that most people, that's the image that comes to mind. But that's just me. Change is needed, for sure. But beyond doubt, it doesn't matter who you ask and what point of view they take. Two opposing points of view. Everybody knows that change needs to occur, and I'm with you 100% that we need to exhaust all of our legal ways before we resort to violence. Shootings of police officers in reaction to police shooting a couple of people presumed innocent. Yeah. What did you do? What'd you do there? You didn't help the surviving family. You sure shit didn't bring the person back to life. You're not furthering the cause. The people that are not seeing your point of view just further deepened their opposing point of view. Plus, you fucking killed five people, right. Destroyed five families. A community. I mean, what? No, violence as the answer to violence is nope.
Okay, so we're pretty much
done it then. That's all I got to say about that.
Yeah. Flipping things over a little bit. We do have some listener mail this week.
Ah.
Yeah.
Good.
What? Ryan writes in to say, "Hey guys, cool show. Thanks. That's important." I was wondering if you had heard about the guy that attacked Google headquarters because he thought they were stalking him. I'd like to hear your thoughts. Thanks. What the fuck is this, man? Like, have you heard about this?
I did, dude. I heard about this a few days ago. Shit. You didn't hear about this?
No.
Okay, so this guy. I don't remember all the details, but this guy gets arrested for, I think he was shooting out the windows at a Google office building. And they're like, what the fuck are you doing, man? Because like, he wasn't shooting at people or anything. He was just shooting the windows out of the building. And they're like, what did you do? What the fuck? He's like, these motherfuckers are stalking me. And so they're like, well, hold on. A few days ago, like a whole bunch of Google Street View cars got fucked up. Did you have anything to do with that? And he's like, hell yeah. This guy, he made a bunch of Molotov cocktails and was trying to blow up the Google Street View cars because he thought that the Google Street View cars were stalking him, basically, like following him around town. He said he had a notebook full of the times and locations, and I guess he was like, you know, losing his mind because they won't leave me alone. I got to do something about it.
Did anybody get hurt?
No. Okay. In fact, most of the cars that had Molotov cocktails thrown at them weren't even hurt. The pavement got a little burnt, but the cars were fine.
I'm all for this, then. As long as no one got hurt, man, this is just pure entertainment.
Oh, man. It was so good. When I read that shit, I'm surprised I didn't say anything to you about it.
No, that's insane. That's awesome.
Oh, man. I had a good laugh over that one.
Thank you, Ryan, for bringing that in there. That is amazing. That's great. That's
Thanks, dude.
If you got some crazy ass story you'd like to share with us, or some news item that we're liable to miss, just email us podcast@ritualmisery.com. Let us know what you're thinking, and that's awesome. That is awesome.
That's cool. Another place to put stuff is our subreddit, which is ritualmisery.reddit.com.
Kent, people can find you at rm_delnoche on the Twitter.
Yep. Also, if you're a beer guy like me, go to ratebeer.com and look up username Del Noche.
All right. You can find me at Ethan Kane. And if you'd like to support the show, you can cruise on over to ritualmisery.com/swag. We've still got t-shirts up there and everything else. We need to get in there, revamp that, and throw some more stuff in there and everything else. But that's always there, and a little bit of that gets kicked back to us. It's exactly $1 of anything that you buy gets kicked back to us, helps us make this show a little bit better. So cruise on over and do that. You can follow the show at Ritual Misery. And you can submit ideas on our subreddit, like you said, ritualmisery.reddit.com. You can email us, podcast@ritualmisery.com. You can call and leave us a voicemail, 567-69-TRMPC. That's 567-698-7672. And, of course, you can find all these links and more ways to support the show at ritualmisery.com. Thank you so much to Kevin MacLeod for allowing us to use your music. And thank you, dear listeners and watchers. This has been your Ritual Misery Podcast.
See you.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Oh, man. So good. So good.
Man, that was... great, no Skype issues for 98% of the show. Right at the end, as you're doing the close, shit got all wacky.
It you missed your outro completely, like totally skipped it.
Yeah, well, I thought you were like dragging out the intro. I thought you were saying, this has been...
Oh, no. Hey, let me tell everybody that we're not live anymore real quick.
Okay.
We are, but we're not.
Oh, right. Yeah. Show's over. Show's over.